Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel, presented by Mainstay Financial and Anna Lee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Anna Lee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
That's the truth. Good morning, good morning, good morning. How is everybody this morning?
Everybody's great. How are you, Anna Lee?
Well, I'm good. I want to welcome everybody to Winning with Mainstay, and I'm your host, Anna Lee. And Bob is with me today, and of course, Ms. Jen is with us too. How are you, dear?
Good morning. I'm really excited. I'm glad the trio is back together.
Yes.
I know. Isn't that nice? It's like, you know, all of a sudden, we all went our little ways for a week, and then it seems like it was 3 months, but now we're all back together again.
So I love it.
This is a good thing. This is a good thing. So, you know, since I was not with everybody last week, Bob wasn't with everybody last week, but, you know, I spent all Thursday afternoon and all day Friday till 4:30 in the afternoon doing my Ed Slott training. Now, I want to tell you, by Friday afternoon at 4:30, my brain was mush. Very interesting, extremely interesting to listen to the things that Ed talks about, reminds me of new rules that have come up. But I got to tell you, people, it is draining. It really, if you really pay attention to what the man is saying and try to understand how that can be applied to what your clients need, by the time you finish with it, you're like, oh my gosh, it's got to be time for a glass of wine. I just, it's just amazing to me. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, was there wine on Thursday and Friday after the Ed Slott training, or just Friday?
Oh, yes. Oh, no. Both days.
And for our listeners, Ed Slott, of course, is the guru of IRAs, all things IRAs. He is the authority of all authorities. And Anna Lee attended, I guess, really what amounted to 2 full days of training, drinking from a fire hose, right?
Yeah. It's amazing. The man is just such an unbelievable wealth of knowledge. And then, of course, he has his full team of specialists that work with him. So we had Ed speaking. We had a tax attorney who specializes in IRA speaking. We had 3 separate CPAs speaking. We had a guest speaker who is an attorney out of California who specializes in estate law planning. And she basically knows the laws in every single solitary state. That woman is a genius walking around on 2 feet. I mean, she's awesome. She is just awesome. So you can imagine listening to all those people talking about nothing but IRAs and the laws that pertain to IRAs. See, people think IRAs are simple. You put your money in, take some money out at a certain age, you're done. No.
Not the case.
I mean, there are laws all over the place. I'll tell you one of the first things that I learned, because I have done cases where there was a divorce and there was a Roth involved. And we got a court settlement to put a portion of the Roth toward the spouse that is our client. Well, I automatically thought, which you should never do, that just like traditional IRAs, there is a standing law pertaining to divorce when there is an IRA. There is no standing law according to Roth. So the assumption is, and there was a private letter ruling done, and let me refresh you on what a private letter ruling is. If there is a discrepancy about an IRA, or if you make a mistake and you want to try to undo the mistake, you can go to the government, to the IRS, and get what's called a private letter ruling, or try to get one, okay? Now, this is how important these things are. To apply for a private letter ruling, you have to fork up $10,000.
Gosh.
That's just to apply, okay? So the cost, the longer you're in the courtroom, of course, goes cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Okay.
Wow.
So you figure you better have a pretty doggone big IRA to want to get a private letter ruling. You don't just go do that if it's a $30,000 IRA. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
So there was a discrepancy that came up, and the person went to the IRS to obtain a private letter ruling, and finally got the IRS to put a private letter ruling out that, yes, Roths have to be treated the same as traditional IRAs. So just so, again, everybody gets all your ducks in a row.
Right.
If you have a 401k, a 403b, a deferred comp plan, any plan that is regulated by the form of government called ERISA. Those are the ones you get through your employer. If a divorce occurs, you get settlement on those through what is called a quadro. That is a qualified distribution account, okay? If it is an IRA, that has to be a court order that is sent to the custodian that says, send half of this IRA to Mr. or Mrs. ... ex-spouse of. Attached is the court order directing you to do so. So there are two different documents depending upon what type of qualified plan that you have, whether it be your own or whether it be one that is regulated by the employer.
And Annalee, that's interesting because I I'm just thinking out loud, which is sometimes dangerous, but the money, the funds going into a 401k, 403b, 401a, all of the employer sponsored plans are pretty traceable. You know, it comes from your earnings and the matching contribution. And I wonder if it's a policy decision that went during the marriage, this was income coming into the marriage and is very traceable and therefore should be and is subject to the qualified domestic relations order. Whereas the traditional, the Roth, you know, on the outside where you're just contributing the $6,000 or $7,000 a year, that can be from your savings. That can be from an account you had 20 years ago, right? So I'm just kind of, I wonder why there's so much formal legislation regarding the qualified plans, but not the individual accounts.
Well, I think that all came about, Bob, because the qualified plans, if we both recall, were around a lot longer than the IRAs. And because the businesses are also involved, the businesses required and requested a formal paper to them saying, yes, this is to be done. It's not just to the custodian, it is to the business saying, yes, this money by law must now be split. And that those things, the qualified domestic relations order, what's called the quadro, and the court order, that's what prevents that money from becoming taxable. So see, if you're going through a divorce and let's say there's a nice size 401k, $400,000, $500,000, and as a spouse, you're qualified to get half of that, you don't want that $250,000, $200,000 paid to you because that becomes a taxable event. You want it rolled over, you want it moved so that it becomes your IRA at that point and prevents it from being a taxable event. So just a good reminder on that, because that is something that is very, very important. Right. Now, here's another thing that was brought up that I think is very, very interesting, because, you know, people talk about, let's do a prenuptial agreement. So if you do a prenuptial agreement, okay,
right,
and you say in that prenuptial agreement, whatever is future hubby or future wife, whatever's in their 401k, I am not going to claim half of that. Well, guess what? You can put that into the prenup, but you know what? It doesn't hold water.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were not married to that person prior to, so you had no right to the 401. So you're giving up a right to something you have no right to.
Right.
So if you want to protect the 401, you also have to do a postnup. So I just thought, you know, people don't think about these kind of things. They think, oh yeah, I got a prenup, I'm good. No, you're not.
Yeah, and second marriages always require considerable planning and meeting, possibly with an attorney, with your tax advisor, and, you know, just getting everything formalized, if that's something you choose to do. But
yeah,
usually advised, especially from where we sit, right?
Oh, and you know, how many people do we have now that have second, third, and fourth marriages?
Right.
So you better have that pretty well put together as to what you can or cannot do. So, you know, you got to kind of watch what's going on. And that's why, you know, I tell everybody in the office this. I tell my clients this, document everything that you do.
Right.
You know, clients will call and say, well, I want to make a contribution to my IRA. Can I just send that directly to TD? I beg them not to. I want a copy of that check in their files. Why? In case something comes up, mm-hmm. we have documentation of what has happened, you see?
Right.
So that can become, in a lot of situations, very, very important. So make sure if you're doing things that, as Bob said, your advisor, your tax person, all those people are involved in what's going on, because you want to make sure that you can go back and show when things happen and how they happen.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
It just, because, boy, you want to talk about, can be a mess.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And, you know, it's interesting how the Roth IRA always gets a pass on how it's interpreted, or there's not a lot of legislation because a lot of folks haven't even started to take distributions from them. And, of course, the Roth IRA didn't even exist before the Tax Reform Act of 1997.
Oh,
that,
no.
That is fairly recently. So someone like, you know, Jenna here, who, you know,
mm-hmm.
Youngster, you know, Roth IRA, you know, got to contribute to a Roth IRA, everybody
right.
your age. But, and the same goes with my kids. When I was your age, it wasn't around. It didn't exist. And
uh-huh.
it's, so I think we're going to see a lot of planning around Roth IRAs. One of the things that I think I've noticed, and, well, I think I know I've noticed, and I think most of us have, when we're doing a lot of planning with our clients, do you notice how as folks get older and they have a Roth and they have a traditional, of course they have to take money out of their traditional, they have to take their RMDs, they don't out of their Roth, and it's almost like that is a legacy account that has that folks, our clients included, have no intention of dipping into at any time. It's it's sort of like the war chest, the just in case, you know, the just in case money. But it's a beautiful account. We all know that, but there's not a lot of legislation governing the Roth IRAs at this point.
Right. So all of these things you've got to keep up with, and you've got to be right on top of, because I talked to advisors who studied maybe a 10-page section of the testing materials to get a license on IRAs, and they think they know all about them. And I wish, I've got the Master Elite. This is the second manual, the smaller manual. The big manual is the one that starts with Elite, Master Elite Advisors. And the smaller manual is 123 pages long.
Wow.
And this is on nothing but IRAs, Roth IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, solo 401ks, because the laws are flexible. The laws change. Look what just happened this past year, how they up and decided, okay, we're going to change the laws again. So you've got to be careful, and you want to know, what kind of creditor protection do you possibly need? If you think you're about to go into some kind of a bankruptcy proceeding, leave your money in a 401k. Don't roll it, because the 401k is creditor protected. Mm-hmm. So that's just some of the things that you've got to think about. Is it under ERISA laws, or is it under the IRA laws? And they're a little bit different. It's just like if you're a small business owner and you're trying to set something up, what's the best way for you to do a savings? And what's it going to cost you to do that? And what does it mean if you have part-time employees or full-time employees, or, the questions just go on and on and on and on. Wow. It just gets so unbelievably confusing sometimes. Most people don't even know you could do a reverse rollover, but you could. You could roll to an IRA and then roll that money back to something like a solo 401k. That's something that definitely is there.
Right.
The backdoor Roth, still perfectly legal. If you're single, they say if you make between $198,000 and $208,000, you can't contribute to a traditional IRA and use it as a tax deduction.
Right.
Well, you could put the money in and not do a tax deduction, but you then immediately roll that money to a Roth. And there's no tax consequence because you didn't get a tax benefit in the beginning.
Right.
Yeah. And, we mentioned this one of the shows not long ago, Bob. We had a client come in that was told he couldn't contribute for his wife.
Yes.
Well,
And you know what was funny about that is that couple, she was the one working and he was not at the time.
No, he had not yet retired.
He had not yet retired, but she
had not yet retired.
And she has no intention of retiring anytime soon.
Right.
But he was about to retire. That is correct. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, make sure people know the rules. You got to make sure you understand what you're doing. And a lot of 401ks now are allowing the Roth. So if they are, please think about making your contributions Roth contributions. And I know you're going to miss a tax break today, but believe me, by the time you collect the interest on the principal and then the compounding effect that comes in where you're earning interest on the interest and the principal, you'll come out way ahead in the long run, because if the employer is matching, whatever they put in is going to be fully taxable. That's how the employer gets a tax break. Okay. Right. So just be aware, and if be very, very careful if you've made a loan on your 401, your 403, whatever those things are, those must be paid back. They must be paid back. And there's a formula to pay those back, and you are given a payment plan. And if you miss payments, that full amount that you quote unquote borrowed becomes a taxable event. You're still being charged interest on it as a loan. So when you go to retire, you think, oh, look how much money I have. No, you don't.
Right.
It's going to be subtracted. That loan plus any interest will be subtracted. So please be careful.
Right.
Please be careful. You know, there was a whole section that we did, Bob, that you would have liked of, you know, going through trust and, you know, what the 7-step checklist for IRA trust after the Secure Act. Because what was the worst thing, Bob, that happened with the new laws that they passed for beneficiaries?
Right. The elimination of the stretch IRA, which, mm-hmm. you know, extended the distributions, the taxable distributions throughout the lifetime of the beneficiary. But now it's 10 years, baby. And
10 years.
Yeah.
And
wasn't there a private letter ruling on how that 10 years is going to be determined under what distribution?
No, there was
schedule?
Not a private letter ruling. Okay. There was Ed Slott going up against the IRS, and guess who won?
Ed Slott. I got my money on Ed.
Ed won.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to remind you, you're listening to Winning with Mainstay and Annalee and Bob, and if you've got a question, either call us or text us, 437-1620. We would love to hear from you. So let's go back. If you inherited an IRA prior to 2020, you are under the old rules. You still get to stretch, okay? But when the, you know, we've got to look into what can be done. And so now we're saying, okay, a child, let's just kind of review this very quickly. A child, if a minor collects an IRA, mm-hmm. is a beneficiary, they can make a distribution according to their age until they hit the age of majority. But at the age of majority, they pop over to that 10-year rule,
right.
where they have to get the money out.
Right.
Okay. Now, you may have an adult, and when I think about that, I'm thinking of an 18-year-old all of a sudden saying, oh, I got 300 grand sitting in that account. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking that out across 10 years. I'm taking it now. I'm going to go buy myself a new Corvette with a matching speedboat and might as well get a couple of jet skis while I'm in there. And, you know, what happens that 300,000 is going how fast? I don't know about you, but I don't want to leave that kind of money to a minor.
That's right.
I mean, even if they're a young adult, I mean, I just don't want to do that. So we start thinking, is maybe a trust the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
If you have someone who is going to inherit your money that is not good with money.
Right.
You know, that's the kid that every month comes to you, Bob, and says, Dad, I can't pay my rent this month. Dad, they're going to turn off my electricity. Do you want to leave that kid money?
Right. Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough
one. You know, because they'll blow it. They'll blow it. Or suppose you have a child who has an addiction problem.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely don't want to leave them money. So then that's where you start thinking about a trust. Because the trust, it can't stretch the IRA. They don't get that stretch. They're still going to have to get that money out. but the taxes will be paid. It can then be put into an account for the person, and that is doled out over time.
Right.
Okay. I just think for some people, especially if you want control, we got to go listen to the news, and hopefully we've got some good stuff going on out there.
All right, Mark, what you got going on for us in the newsroom?
Charlie Crist wants his old job back. We'll have that story coming up after Fox News.
News. I'm Lillian Wu. Millions more Americans expected to be able to get COVID vaccines soon. The FDA reportedly set to authorize Pfizer shots for 12 to 15-year-olds next week. Meanwhile, the debate continues over herd immunity.
Some experts say that threshold isn't attainable, according to the New York Times, and that COVID-19 may be managed as opposed to wiped out. Other scientists have weighed in as well. Dr. Ashish Jha, dean of the Brown University School of Public Health, says opening the shots up to kids will help improve the numbers and that continued testing and monitoring virus variants are important.
Fox's Tanya J. Power. Stocks under pressure on Wall Street, where there's a lot of selling. We're also learning the U.S. trade deficit surged to a record $74.4 billion in March as the improving economy boosted purchases of imported foreign goods. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3, AM 1620, 79 and cloudy. I'm Mark Jacobs. Former Florida governor-turned-congressman Charlie Crist looking to get his old job back. Crist served as Florida governor from 2007 to 2011 as a Republican. He's served as 13th District Congressman as a Democrat since 2016. Other Democrats listed as possible contenders in the governor's race against incumbent GOP Governor Ron DeSantis next year include Congresswoman Val Demings and Florida Ag Commissioner Nikki Freed. State health officials reminding everyone Moderna vaccination clinics are ongoing at the old Bell's location in Milton. FDOH Santa Rosa County says they're taking patients for both walk-ins and appointments at that location Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 6:30. Also Saturdays till further notice, 9 to 1. Also, if you've already gotten your first Moderna shot, you're encouraged to walk in for your second dose at that location on Highway 90. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
Temperatures this afternoon will be nice and warm. 82 degrees for the afternoon, dropping into the 70s overnight. That low tonight near 71. For Wednesday, the rain will continue. 70% chance of rain showers likely, that high near 81 degrees. From the First Warning Channel 3 studios, I'm meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
79 in Pensacola, 80 in Gulf Breeze, 81 in Milton at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3. AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Stocks are tumbling as tech shares retreat. The Dow Industrials down 326 at 33,786. The Nasdaq's down 366. The S&P 500 down 60. The next generation of COVID-19 vaccines in development could come as a pill or a nasal spray and be easier to store and transport than the current shots. These newer vaccines from U.S. government labs and companies, including Sanofi, Altimmune, and Gritstone Oncology, also have the potential to provide longer-lasting immune responses and be more potent against newer and multiple viral variants. A growing number of states are lifting business constraints, leading people to shop, dine out, and travel. But the revival of one activity has been especially slow, working from the office. Data tracker Castle Systems says the number of employee office visits in 10 large cities reached 26% of the pre-pandemic level the week ending April 21st. That's Your Money Now.
Business owners, second quarter is here. Wait, a quarter of the year is gone and you're still struggling to put together your strategies for your marketing plan this year?
No. We actually have a wonderful strategy in place. I'm just going to go get it. Oh my gosh, you guys, get a plan together quick!
Don't waste another day. Contact ADX Digital today. Hey, it's Callie Scully, Digital Sales Director for ADX Digital, and it's time you stop wondering, stop stressing, and the overwhelm you feel can end today. At ADX Digital, we are your comprehensive digital marketing partner, and we're here to help. We are local marketing professionals, we understand the market, and we know what works for businesses just like yours. We'd love to build a partnership with you. Make today the last day you feel overwhelmed. At ADX Digital, we'll work with you to create a customized digital marketing partnership tailored exactly to your business to help you achieve your goals. Don't waste another day. Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
And they stay there. Ooh, up, down. Win. Woo. Put your hands in the air and win. You know, I always think when I hear this song about putting your hands in the air, it's like praise. It's thank the people and the powers that be that got us where we are.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Winning with Mainstay and Annalee and Bob. And we're kind of reviewing today, and this will probably take us 2 or 3 weeks to get through, but reviewing all of the wonderful training I went through last week from the EdSlot Mastery Elite IRA Advisory Group. And as Bob had mentioned before, Mr. Slot is the guru of IRAs. He brought up the interesting fact that this group has been together, the EdSlot Elite and Mastery Elite IRA Advisory Group has been together for 17 years, and I have been a member for 11. So that's a lot of time spent with this gentleman. And what we're going to do, Bob, is we're going to be lining him up for one of our shows coming up because he is, gosh, the man I just love to listen to him.
Yes, okay. Yes. And Annalee, that would be great. And that's whenever we get that date, everybody circle it on their calendar because that'll be very special.
Yeah, I'll let you know as soon as we can get him scheduled. I'll let you know so that you can make sure you listen to the show that day or go to the iPod either in 1620 or our website and listen to it because it's the man always has great information. So let's kind of go back. If you're going to do a trust, what type of trust? And there are two types. And Bob, you're more familiar with this section than I, but a conduit and a discretionary. Mm-hmm. So you got to be sure which one you set up, because if you do a conduit, the money's got to be paid out to the beneficiaries. If you do a discretionary, it can either be kept in the trust or paid to the beneficiaries. So see, this is kind of like you could say, all right, here's the conduit trust that would say, all right, you're not eligible for this money till you're 18. Well, if the kid hits 18, you got to give him the money. Right. But if it's discretionary, you could say, all right, at 18, if you go to college, this much money will be used for your tuition. You graduate from college, then you get this much. If you don't do those things, you're not getting it.
Right.
What does that give you? More control.
Right.
I like the idea of control over your money. I mean, you know, you work too hard.
Yeah.
Work too hard. So you know?
So in the discretionary trust, let's say an IRA goes in and the, you know, I'm thinking about my own kids, okay? I've got mm-hmm. five at 18 in no way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Should they have received a penny? And let's say I'm gone and my IRAs spill over to this discretionary trust. The beauty of this is the trustee can say, look, pal, you got to clean it up. I'm talking about my kids now. And, you mm-hmm. know, they hit 22, 23, maybe 25. They're on their way. They want to buy a house. They need a down payment. You know, you make a distribution. They pay the taxes, of course, on it. But you can again, you know, that's the beauty of a discretionary trust. You can, you know, there has to be a discretionary standard, and it's usually for the health, maintenance, support, education, things like that. But you can hold back distributions, you know, until they're ready for it or they've met certain goals in their life.
I want to remind everybody, if you have a question or you want to make a comment, either call us or text us at 437-1620. We'd love to hear from you. The other thing you want to talk to the attorney about when you're setting these up, if you're going to put IRA money in, is it what's called a see-through trust? So basically what that means is if the IRA owner dies before they're taking required minimum distributions, okay? So remember now that it's now 72. If they die before the required beginning date, then the account has to be withdrawn by the end of the fifth year after death. That's the five-year rule, okay? No annual OMDs during that 5 years, but the money's got to be out. Now, if the owner dies after the required beginning date, you then go to what's called a ghost rule. You ever hear that one, Jenna?
No.
The ghost rule. Okay, so the ghost rule says if the owner died and they're already taking required minimum distributions, now this is if it's inside of a trust, the beneficiary must take a required minimum distribution every year based on the previous owner's age. You don't flop over to the 10 years, but so if grandpa died at 85, you have to take his distribution at age 85, 86, 87, 88, 89. So that's going to empty that thing out faster, but it does give you some ability to stretch. Yeah. So if you're already at a stage where you're taking required minimum distributions, this could be a good way to leave it to heirs and build in some of a stretch. It would be built on your age, but it's better than 10 years. Gina, we got a call from Nancy.
Yes, good morning, Nancy from Pensacola. What's your question?
My question is, now can funds inside a 457B plan, which is traditional, can it be converted to an IRA? Several months ago, I was told no. Has this changed?
I don't know if you want to tell me. Well, let me just ask you this. Are you past 59 and a half?
Way past. I'm
way
already
past.
Taking
okay.
annual distributions.
Okay. So the easiest thing for you to do, I would think, Bob, then I want you to tell me what you think, but would be to take that out of the 457, make it a traditional IRA, and then you could start conversions to the Roth based upon your own schedule.
Right.
Problem. However, the return I'm getting on the fixed investment is pretty good now at a fixed rate of 3.5%. And if I convert it to my IRA, the rate of return I'm getting is close to zero.
Well, then maybe you need to come talk to us.
Yes.
You should not be getting close to zero on anything. I mean, yeah. I think you need a new advisor.
Bonds and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nancy.
See you soon.
Yeah, see the rules when you start talking about 401ks, 457s, those have different regulations, and a lot of them are controlled pretty much by the people that set them up.
That's right.
I think that's one of the hardest things we work with, don't you, Bob, is the fact that every blasted 401k can be different.
I completely agree. And Nancy, if you're still listening, it really does depend on the plan and the rules for that specific plan. I have a 457 that is still out there that I cannot roll over until age 65. very strange, but you know, that's this particular 457 plan. There's some that you can. There's some that require a certain date, but of course, they're all subject to the required minimum distributions once you reach that age. And I'm sure Nancy's well aware of that. But you know, the other thing we didn't ask Nancy, but 3.5% for a risk-free rate of return, probably not too bad. We just don't know.
No, that's pretty good.
We don't know her risk tolerance or investment objectives. But Anna Lee, this is on you, because you are the person that taught me how to share stories. So I've got a story, and it happened last week. I was gone last week and visiting with my sisters, and we all met on the beach. My sister from New York City brought her husband, and they have this is his second marriage. He has a child from the first marriage, and he's done quite well. So we're talking about IRAs and the new 10-year rule, and he is 10 years older than my sister. So the conundrum begins, and you know, it's a lot. He has one child. They haven't been married forever, of course. He wants, and like a lot of people, a lot of the wealth is tied up in qualified plan assets. So when he rolls that out, and you know, he's 63, and that's not going to be too far off. How do you do that, and how do you name the beneficiary? So with the daughter, who is 18 years old, and my sister, who is 53 years old, and again, she has no children, and her beneficiaries are his beneficiaries, you can leave it, of course, to the surviving spouse, you know, for the balance of their lifetime. And of course, whatever he leaves to his daughter is going to have to come out in 10 years. So we're having this conversation. We're on the beach and we're talking about this. This is a smart guy. He had no idea this rule existed or this change existed, but it's very, but it's very interesting, you know, when you have the disparity in age in the couple, and then you throw in children from a prior marriage. And you know, it's one of these things where you just you got to go back to the beginning, and what are your objectives, and you also have to educate. You have to educate.
Well, you do, because you've got a couple of things going on there. If he's 63 and your sister's 53,
right,
and he leaves it to her, if she thinks she will need any of that money for her support, she needs to remain beneficiary until 59 and a half, because then she can access that money with no penalty.
Right.
If she puts it in her name and goes and takes money out, she will pay tax plus the pre 59 and a half 10% penalty.
Right.
So you got to think about that. So is she going to need some of the money? Is she not?
Right.
You know, now, of course, they could set the daughter up as contingent, and your sister could then, if she inherits, set the daughter up as her primary. But there is nothing that binds your sister to do that.
Right.
So let's say your sister remarries and marry somebody else, and she likes his kids better. She could change the beneficiary. She could change it.
Exactly.
You know,
there are so many things, Anna Lee. Let's take another one. This is one I often think about. Let's say, you know, we knock off the guy first, right? We always do that, especially when they're 10 years old.
I know, it's terrible.
But
the poor men hate coming in my office. They get depressed.
Even if they're 10 years younger, we knock them off. We knock them off first. But anyway, so this, you know, my brother-in-law, he goes on to live a nice life. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say maybe 83 he checks out. That's 20 years from now. My sister is 73. But she has, you know, a decent life expectancy. But guess what? The daughter is now 38 in her, you know, she's making money. And and guess what? My sister isn't, you know, she's retired, maybe on a fixed income. So from a tax standpoint, you know, it makes sense to, you know, think about that as well. I'm not saying where it should go, but you bring up a great point.
Well, but that's what all these new laws have made us think more deeply about. People have to be more aware of. So would it be better to leave your sister the IRA, leave the daughter an asset that is not fully taxable, something that she could take in a step up in basis? Because if the daughter is making good money and she's got to now take this thing out across 10 years, that's not good.
That will absolutely ruin this young lady, especially if it happens before anybody expects, right? And I think, you know, and we talked a little bit about this before the commercial break, you know, a trust would address a lot of these issues. And, when a couple goes through this life and they, you know, they earn this money and they're contributing to their qualified plans, why not sit down and come up with a plan?
Come up with a plan. Yeah. You know, and I've heard people say, well, you know, Italy, if I put it in the trust, it's going to have a higher tax rate. That is correct. There will be a higher tax rate if you put it in the trust as the laws sit today. Who knows 10 years from now? But you have control over that. So would you rather pay the little bit higher tax rate or have control over how that money goes out? So, you know, it sounds like in this situation with the daughter, it would probably be better if they did want to leave the IRA to the daughter to put it in the trust, let the trust pay the taxes, not the daughter, and then make it a discretionary, not a conduit where it's got to be out by the end of the 10 years, but make it a discretionary trust so that it can flow out to the daughter as she needs it or wants it, not forcing her to pay all those taxes across the 10 years. So, you know, this is what has become for us, for the tax people, for the attorneys. It has become something that now takes an additional amount of planning. It makes me reemphasize what I always say: make sure that if you're dealing with an IRA, your advisor, your attorney, and your tax person are all talking to each other. This is the important thing. So now we come to the next step. So, all right, let's say we're ready. We're going to do a trust. We're going to put it in. We've decided we want a discretionary trust. We want it to be doled out. We don't want a conduit trust. We want a discretionary. Now here comes the next step. And boy, how important this is. Who is the trustee?
Yep.
And what do they understand about money? You know, don't just go ask your nephew Joe, because Joe's a nice guy, and maybe Joe never even finished high school, and he's still a nice guy, and he might be a successful business person, but he doesn't understand this stuff. You don't want to put Joe in charge of a huge IRA that has all these rules and regulations around it, set it up in a trust and say, okay, Joe, you're the trustee.
Right.
Because guess who becomes responsible?
Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah, Joe the trustee. And you put Joe in a very difficult position with his, you know, let's say niece or nephew in this instance. And, you know, there's going to be a wedge driven between those two. They have, you know, almost opposite objectives. But, you know, again, and then you have to look at age. You know, is my
right?
You know, is this person going to be around forever? You know,
yeah. If Joe's already 85.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
No, don't big Joe.
Yeah.
Don't big Joe.
Yeah. There's.
You know?
Yeah. That's a very difficult decision to make. Who to name as successor trustee to you, if it's an inter vivos trust, or who's going to be the initial trustee if it's a testamentary trust? But yeah,
yes.
Difficult decisions.
And people, talk to someone before you make them a trustee. Ask if they are willing to take on this responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, don't just plop that on someone.
Yeah.
Talk to them you know, and let them know what all is going to be involved. I've had very long talks with my brother and my nephews and nieces about, guys, this is what is going to come up one day. Or are you willing to handle this? Can you handle this? Yeah. Or do you want it all to be this one? So talk to people, you know, as someone that you can trust. Now, of course, you have alternatives if you don't want to do a trust. You name a spouse. Naming a spouse gets rid of the idea of needing a trust, unless both of you die at the same time. Then we're back in the same quagmire. So you can make the trust the contingent. You could do Roth conversions. Boy, that takes away a lot of problems because then we don't have to worry about the taxes. Here's one people never think about. You could buy life insurance on yourself that would cover the taxes on the IRA. Mm-hmm. Because what do we know about life insurance? It's not taxable. Okay? Or you could start, if you're over the age of 70 and a half, you could start now doing qualified charitable deductions, and you know, you can even do post-death charitable qualified deductions. Yeah. So that's something to think about. It removes it from the whole aspect, depending on how much you have somewhere else.
Right, right. You know, and that is next level stuff. There's you know, how often we see people contributing highly appreciated stock. Okay. And, mm-hmm. you know, the long-term gain is going to be taxed at most at 20%, but most likely 15%. But how about getting rid of the tax liability on a distribution from an IRA? And you're in the 20s, 30s, you know, percent tax bracket. That's, you know, that's a pretty easy decision to make. So,
right.
Yeah, good point.
And stay up to date on your family, the trust, why you created the trust. Does it need to be revised? Does it need to be redone? Mm-hmm. You know, Bob, how many people do we get that come in here and you look at their will or their trust and they still got a clause in there saying that, you know, Uncle Joe's going to take care of their kids if they die and their kids are now 35.
Yes. Yeah. Or they had the trust drafted when they lived in, I don't know, Ohio or Indiana or Alabama,
right.
You know, and we see that. I mean, I don't want to say every other client, but it's getting pretty close because guess what? Mm-hmm. A lot of people that have moved to Florida or that live in Florida now lived somewhere else before.
Right.
And
right.
You know, a very transient state. And,
right.
and Alabama, this market of Alabama along the mm-hmm. along the Gulf Coast, very transient, people moving from
very
other
much.
Places. So
yeah,
we'll see beneficiaries that are no longer with us. We will see spouses that are no longer the person that has the last will and testament is no longer married to. They'll be
mm-hmm.
named, and but of course the big one is living somewhere else when it was originally drafted.
Yeah, that's a biggie. That's a biggie. So think about that. And of course, you know, if the IRA was going to a trust and there's no longer a need for that, all you have to do is change the beneficiary on the IRA. You don't have to go in and change the whole trust. Mm-hmm. You just have to change the beneficiary on the IRA. That is extremely, extremely important. You know, and we're talking about all the private letter rulings on this. It is unbelievable how many private letter rulings have been done regarding trust, IRAs, rollovers. We'll see you next week. Please go out and say please, say thank you, smile at somebody, and let's indeed make it a wonderful world. Bye-bye.